The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Well, this has gone way beyond the comical. I know that, you know, it's good and entertaining to have sound bites from a crazed radical who could be the architect of bringing down our regional economy. But this is getting really serious now, and the implications on what it could do to Seattle, to Western Washington, to our entire state are so serious. And the stuff that I've been listening to this morning just proves that the inmates at the mental institution have gained control of that institution. Welcome to the big show. We are also streaming on Facebook Live. And what's going on right now down at Seattle City Hall, it is going to have implications on the entire state. We are hearing absolute craziness from public officials. Let's get right to our top story.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
Yeah, we are in Bizarro World right now. And Kshama Sawant is there. There's something so seriously wrong with her. And the fact that there are still people who support her is really disturbing. And since we have a representative government, she's not just crazy by herself. She is crazy on behalf of all the people who have voted for her. And she is representative of what liberalism in Seattle has become. And if you voted for her or for the liars on the city council like Mike O'Brien and Rob Johnson, for the people who refuse to acknowledge how much they have wasted, the billions of dollars they've wasted over the last decade using the plight of drug-addicted homeless people in their effort to expand the footprint of government, you own all of this if you have voted for these people. And what we are seeing now is Amazon has rightfully and reasonably said, we're going to step away from 7,000 jobs. We're going to halt construction projects. And it's a shame that the plight of these good, hardworking, blue-collar construction workers, that their economic fate is in the hands of crazed radicals. But that's where we are today. And so what's going to happen? We've told you about this for a couple of years now. We are in an economic bubble. These are great economic times. But economies run in cycles. And when we have that inevitable downturn, Seattle is going to be hit harder than any city in our nation's history, because so many businesses are teetering on the brink right now. The retail sector is teetering on the brink. You have service industries, restaurants that have the tiniest of margins. And we have people in charge now who have decided that they are the mortal enemies. And what we're seeing is no mention of drug addiction. All they're talking about is let's tax Amazon to help the poor homeless. There is no acknowledgement of the drug addiction that is not going to go away. There's no mention of the fact that so many of the people on the street do not want housing because they have decided, sadly, they have decided that using heroin and living in tents and tarps, that is their lifestyle of choice. Because when service groups have gone out and tried to provide them with housing, with addiction counseling, they refuse. Just recently, about a month ago, there was a sweep of a homeless encampment with 40 people. They offered services to all of them, and only a couple said yes. The others said, no, this is my lifestyle of choice. And those are the people who are being used to try to build. And I mean, what Sawant is talking about is she wants public housing that so many cities had back in the 60s and 70s, Detroit, Chicago, Cabrini-Green, these housing developments, New York City, Newark, they became so riddled with drugs and crime and gangs that all of these other cities tore them down in the last decade or two. And that's the vision for Seattle now. Is Sawat wants the government to build all of these housing units. And it's amazing, given the history. And this isn't theory. Given what has happened in all of these cities around the country that have said, no, we got to tear down these housing complexes because the crime is so rampant, because it's not changing people's lives. There's so little talk about this money has to go to addiction counseling and mental health treatment, which is the only way any of these people have a chance of getting their lives back. But all this is no, we need government to build housing. For people who do not want it, the ones who refuse all services, and when we have a history over the last half century of cities that have torn down their public housing because of all of the problems that come with it. Again, this isn't theory that we're talking about. This is real life. And to see the drug addicted being used by communists, and this is not about socialism anymore. It has gone so far to the left in the spectrum beyond socialism, to where we have communists who are desirous of having the government control everything, the housing. They'll dole out the money. You won't have to work. You can keep using heroin. You can keep drinking yourself to death. That's what we have in these tiny villages. And meanwhile, you have all of the good, hardworking people of this region, taxpaying citizens whose homes are getting broken into, whose cars are having their windows smashed, who are getting assaulted. The loved ones in your life are being assaulted for the crime of walking by one of these tiny villages. And on it goes. So I've got a lot of audio for you. I'm going to do something we rarely do, but this is such an important regional issue. Beginning at right after the 12:30 news, I'm going to open up the phone lines because this is an issue where your voice has to be heard. And I know that there are a lot of you who don't have time to go and sit and listen to the ravings of lunatics at a city council meeting. And you don't have time to sit and listen to all of this nonsense that's being spewed down at City Hall today. But your voice has to be heard. And since we do provide the biggest platform in Seattle radio, Seattle broadcasting for that, we're going to just open up the phone lines, and I want to hear from you. And maybe you totally disagree with me on this, and that's fine too. But starting at 12:30, don't call in yet, but starting at 12:30, and then we may do it in the 1:30 half hour as well, because it is so important that your voice be heard on this. And I'm talking about people throughout our Western Washington region here. I need you to listen to a little bit of Sawant. Our friend Brandy Cruz at Q13 had Sawant in studio live this morning. And what I heard and saw, if you saw her eyes, I saw the ravings of a lunatic. And I really mean that. There is something so mentally off with her right now. And so she talked about, and they keep talking about this as an Amazon tax. That's all they pitch this as. But it's 500 businesses that would be affected. And here is a little bit of what Sawant was saying. And strap in and listen to this, because this is pretty amazing stuff from somebody who is an elected leader in one of the major cities in the United States.
Is Amazon financially capable of holding those jobs, continuing the construction and not holding those jobs hostage and paying the pocket change tax that we are demanding that they pay? $20 million is...
Let's start with that. $20 million in the mind of Sawant is pocket change. Pocket change. They have taken $1 billion over the last decade, and they have seen the problem get exponentially worse here in the region, in all of the Puget Sound area. The more we spend more money, and I will keep hammering this point, because we spend more money per capita on homelessness than any city in the United States of America. So there clearly is zero correlation between spending money and solving the problem. But there is an almost gleeful delight in being able to use heroin-addicted people on the streets in her desire to expand government. But let's start with that. Just remember, $20 million from Amazon is pocket change.
And paying the pocket change tax that we are demanding that they pay, $20 million is pocket change.
Of course,
there's no argument about it.
Of course,
yes,
they can.
Yes, look, so let me get to the next point. So if they can do it, but they're still threatening to hold those jobs hostage, that's extortion. Because...
Okay, no, it's business. It's business. When no other city in the country has ever had a tax like this, when Seattle is talking about something that is far more radical, Chicago tried this a few years ago, they were doing less than 10% of the taxation of what Seattle is proposing. And it was a job killer. Far left Mayor Rahm Emanuel called it a job killer. And that was less than 10% of what Seattle is proposing. So, I mean, I can't believe what I'm hearing from this person.
That's extortion. Because it's, yes, of course I understand that the richest man in the world has, you know, a few days ago he said he has so much money that he doesn't know what to do with it and he's going to shoot it off to outer space. 2 days later, he says...
He said nothing of the sort. One of Jeff Bezos' passion is space exploration. He never said that he has so much money he doesn't know what to do with it. He is merely using the wealth he has accumulated by building one of the most revolutionary companies in our planet's history to pursue one of his passions. But in her mentally deranged mind, and I really do mean that, there's something so off with her. But she says he doesn't know what to do with it, so he's going to blow it into space, and on the rant went.
2 days ago, he said he has so much money that he doesn't know what to do with it, and he's going to shoot it off to outer space. 2 days later, he says, I'm not going to pay the pocket change tax. So I want your viewers to understand who's the enemy here. The enemy are not workers against workers. What Amazon is doing is a classic divide and rule strategy where they're putting one set of workers against another set of workers. And my appeal to everybody watching that.
I mean, listen to how she's ranting. She's manic here in how she's just going off and off. This is too, I got to interrupt it just to give you a tiny bit of a break from the manic ravings of her.
One set of workers against another set of workers. And my appeal to everybody watching there, if you depend on a paycheck to pay your rent, then let's understand that an injury to one is an injury to all. We have to stand together. And let's not accept the false dichotomy between jobs and affordable housing. Working people need both decent union jobs and we need affordable cities.
Okay, she's not talking at all about drug addiction. She's not talking at all about the number of heroin addicts who refuse services every time they are offered.
It is completely missing
in all of the ravings here.
I think Amazon's logic is that it's a race to the bottom in all cities. It's not just about Seattle. See, Amazon's threat is not just against Seattle. Amazon and Jeff Bezos' threat is against every city in the United States. They're sending a message that if you as working people have the temerity to tax us, even pocket change tax, then we will be bullies, we will be extortionists, and we will hold jobs against you.
A pocket change tax. It's the third time she's used calling $20 million to Amazon pocket change, which shows her callous disregard for money, the fact that Seattle's wastes are the region has wasted over $1 billion over the last 10 years, how government pledged in 2004 the 10-year plan to end homelessness. We've spent way over $1 billion on the 10-year plan to end homelessness, and 14 years later, we have one of the worst homeless crises in the nation. And it's because the money is in the hands of completely incompetent people like Sawant.
The only way to fight against it is not to accept that, but to actually fight back against it.
Listen to her. And I wish you could see her eyes while she's raving away here, because it was something to watch.
Is not to accept that, but to actually fight back against it. Let me give you a counter example. When we were fighting for $15 an hour, the same businesses, including Ethan's Towel and Dick's Drive-In and so on, were saying, this will be apocalyptic, we can't do this. If we had accepted that, what would have happened? Wages would have languished. Instead, what happened was that the $15 an hour went nationwide. We won $15 in LA, DC, Minneapolis.
And it's all a complete lie. The University of Washington study has proven that the lowest income workers are taking home less money because of $15 an hour than before that law was implemented, because their hours have been cut. That was the study commissioned by the city of Seattle to monitor how $15 an hour was doing, and it reduced take-home wages. She ignores that. She ignores facts because she has some people who are completely buffaloed by her talking points here. And she figures if she talks loud enough and fast enough that people will ignore the facts that are missing from her narrative.
A number of other cities, and became a national issue. So what we do to fight the race to the bottom is to fight to get working people everywhere demanding better living conditions.
Here's what I can hope.
Okay, and she's going to cost thousands, maybe 7,000 construction jobs if Amazon puts a halt on this. She called the left Democrats of Seattle, who went to the town hall last week in Ballard, she called them a bunch of right-wing NIMBYs. There are very few right-wing people who live in Seattle. And Brandy said, how do you justify calling a bunch of people who voted for Mike O'Brien and you right-wing NIMBYs?
I think there are people in that meeting who we spoke to who felt as if, because you had a couple of those individuals in there who were shouting mean things about the homeless, that it made it easier for you to dismiss the very real concerns that they
had. I want to make it clear. In no way did I mean to dismiss those concerns, and I was very specifically referring to those loud voices. That is why.
No, she wasn't. We have it on tape. Did you bump up the right-wing NIMBY comment from a couple days ago? She wasn't very specific. She said that people who are upset at their homes being broken into, their cars being prowled, and their family members being assaulted, she said that they are right-wing NIMBYs. And now she's trying to pretend that she didn't say that. But here is what she said about the people at that Ballard meeting.
There are people out there angry. Seattle residents are angry that they're not seeing an improvement, and they directly blame city council members like yourself for mismanagement of funds.
I think the media is paying too much attention to a few very, very loud right-wing NIMBYists who are, showed up to the city hall city council meeting at Ballard.
Is it fair to call them right-wing NIMBYs? Many of those people voted for Mike O'Brien.
I think the people who went to Ballard and spewed out anti-homeless slurs, that is a right-wing position to have.
So if you're upset about home break-ins and car prowls and physical assaults, if you're concerned about little girls being raped in homeless encampments, that's a right-wing position in her mind. I got so much more audio. We're going to play it throughout the afternoon for you. But here's what I'm going to do. I want to open up the phone lines because, as I said, a lot of you don't have time to go and sit and listen to the insanity at City Hall. but your voice needs to be heard wherever you are in the region, because this is going to have a regional economic catastrophic impact. And so let's open up the phone lines. We rarely do this, but this whole issue is so important that I want to make you and your comments a big focal point of my show this afternoon. So we're opening up the phone lines right now. 888-973 Cairo. 888-973-5476. And if you disagree with me on all of this, call in. Tell me where you disagree. Tell me how you believe the city council will suddenly manage money well when they've squandered $1 billion over the last decade. If you agree with me, you're free to say that too. But I want to hear from you. Your voice needs to be part of this regional conversation. 888-973 Cairo, 888-973-5476. Your phone call straight ahead after Ursula checks the news here on the Dory Monson Show. I'm going to spend a fair amount of today's show talking with you because I need your voice to be part of this public conversation about an issue that I think is going to have disastrous consequences for our state economically if the communists like Kshama Sawant, and she's gone so far beyond socialism. The other thing that's odd is she says that she wants all of this government-run housing. Seattle had, you know, Yesler Terrace and Holly Park, and after World War II, they built a lot of public housing, and a lot of that's been torn down because of the crime that was part of it, in part. Crime and drugs riddled it, and now she wants to go back to what Seattle and so many other cities have abandoned, and there was almost no talk. I didn't hear any talk today. In the hours that I was listening this morning about drug treatment and mental health counseling, because there's no desire to help these poor people get their own lives back. The sickness of local government officials like Mike O'Brien, Kshama Sawant, child rape apologist, Sally Bagshaw, Rob Johnson, all the rest, they don't want these people off drugs. They don't want them to get their lives back. Honestly, they want them to be wards of the state. They want the power trip that comes with being able to dole out all of their necessities in life. And that's why there's no talk about drug treatment and mental health counseling. Job train. No talk about any of those things. Just let's build housing and we'll let them shoot up heroin and drink in that housing. It's really twisted. Okay, I got to get to your phone calls. I want to make you a big part of all of this today. Let's go to Tamara in Edmonds. Hey, Tamara, you're on Cairo Radio.
Hi, Dory.
Hey, Tamara.
I think you should visit New York City and maybe catch a clue from the projects there. Like you've been saying, you give people something for free, they're not invested in it, and they don't keep it up. But the other thing, the main thing, was that Kshama Sawant, Mike O'Brien, they are politicians. They do what politicians do.
Mm-hmm.
The big concern is the people who keep voting them into office.
I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, they are just... they're doing what they do, but in a representative government, they represent the people who vote for them, and they supposedly represent the people who didn't vote for them, but they are an example of how deep-seated the sickness of the voters in Seattle are.
Exactly. So yeah. We just need to just keep on preaching the good news. You know?
I will keep it up. Tamara, I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. Opens up a line for you, 888-973 Cairo. Dylan is in Everett. Hey, Dylan, you're on Cairo Radio. Hold on one second.
How are you doing?
Hey, Dylan, I didn't have you. Now we got you up. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm out here working out in this beautiful sunshine.
Nice.
I just wanted to say, Dory, I totally agree with you. I love the passion that you have calling out what I call the mental sickness, a.k.a. the fluoride stare. I don't live in King County. Like I said, I live in Everett. But if I had to take up residency on a sidewalk to be able to petition to get these people out of office, that's my question. What can the citizens do to either demand a mental health evaluation on some of these liberal lunatics, or to get these people out of office? I mean,
well,
they're destroying the city.
We're doing, and not just the city. I mean, it's going to have such an impact on you in Snohomish County and all of our friends and listeners in Pierce County and Kitsap and Thurston and all over. Yet they're going to destroy the region, and we're doing what we need to do, and that's why I wanted to open up the phones, because too often the voice of all the people in the surrounding areas aren't included in this debate. But people like you, Dylan, know that you are going to be desperately affected, and our whole economy is going to be affected if they're able to get their way here.
I did have a question, and if your team and resources need to take a second or a little bit to research it, but what can the citizens do to take their city back?
Well, I think the process has started. I really think the process has started with what happened in Ballard the other night with the construction workers chanting down Sawant at the Amazon Spheres on Friday. People have had it. But now the question is, are they going to proceed because of their monomaniacal desire to make government the alpha and omega for everybody? But we're in the process of doing it, and that's why I'm taking all your calls. Dylan, thank you. Andrew is in Rainier Beach. Hey, Andrew, you're on Cairo.
Hey, Dory, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I've lived in the region 25 years. I graduated from the UW in 2009 during the worst recession. Couldn't find a job. Had a degree. Worked for 7 years bussing tables, working my way up. It's got a contract position at a big company over in Redmond. Eventually making my way to Amazon. Finally able to, provide for my family. I purchased a home, but it took 8 years of really hard work. And I just wanted to remind the listeners that it's not just, the Amazons and the Microsofts and the Boeings in the region. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of contract companies that provide services where those jobs will also be drastically affected if Amazon decides to take jobs out of Seattle, if Boeing decides to move more jobs out of Washington.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when the politicians are blatantly going against what sounds like the very strong will of the people, it's just really upsetting. And I think a lot of people in this region are they've had it. The hard part is just making sure that they get out and vote in November. They're educated on the issue. With so many transplants coming into the city from different places,
yep.
It becomes really hard to make sure the narrative is one of progression as far as our country
well,
goes.
Well, we're starting to win. Back. We're starting to win hearts and minds because I've mentioned with tremendous gratitude to my listeners that our show is succeeding, to beyond any level that we could have possibly ever imagined. And, in 23 years, people have embraced our show and our message for that reason. And it's not because, of me. It's because we have a message where people who feel like they aren't being heard by anyone in government, collectively, we can make an impact, and we are making an impact. But now's the time to make sure that we don't let them implement things that are going to destroy the region. I got to take a real quick time out. Thank you, Andrew, for your call. I'm going to open up a line for you, 888-973 Cairo. Going to keep rolling with your phone calls. We've got a bunch of news in the fastest 15. Then we're going to go with more phone calls coming up in the 1:30 half hour. We're making you the star of the show so your voice can be heard in this critical regional issue. Your call straight ahead. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. Throughout the afternoon, I'll share some of the comments from this city council hearing today. Here's an example of the type of person who's in favor of the business tax for drug addicts.
I don't see that anybody who is opposing this is going to die on the streets or not be able to pay their mortgage or not be able to wear new shoes or clean clothes. My goal is to come here and let you folks know that it's important that we take a little bit of tax from the greedy and give it to those who need it the most.
take money from the greedy and give it to those who need it the most. Now, if we're talking about mental health treatment, drug counseling, I'm all for it. If we're talking about somebody who refuses all treatment and just wants a lifestyle of heroin use, I don't know if they need it the most. And taking money from the greedy is an interesting phrase, because desiring somebody else's money is greed. That guy, that speaker there, is greedy. Desiring someone else's money. That's his idea of being big-hearted, is telling someone else, hey, give them money. I'm going to be generous. I want you to give them your money. That's what passes for Seattle generosity. Let's get back to your phone calls here. John is in Lake Forest Park. Hey, John, you're in Cairo.
Yeah, hi, this is John.
I know.
I actually testified at the hearing this morning.
Okay, which side were you on?
I don't think this is the head tax is the right way to go. A couple of things. One, in 2008, when the city of Seattle had a head tax, it was $25 per employee. And then they repealed that because it was deemed to be too much of a drag on the economy when they were trying to recover.
Correct. And they're talking about 20 times that level of taxation now.
Now, the other thing that I think is rather ironic is that this recommendation came out of a progressive revenue tax force.
Right.
But if you look at, say, a high-paid individual, say $60 an hour, 26 cents is only 0.7% of their pay. If you take a $15 an hour worker, 26 cents on their hour is 1.6%. So it's four times the rate. So how is that a progressive tax?
Well,
that
it's
like
not.
The progressive revenue tax force has recommended something that's regressive.
But remember, this is just a start. And Sawant said that this morning. She said $75 million is just a start. They want $150 million a year eventually. They just want to get this tax in place so they can jack it up. Ignoring the fact that we're already spending more on this issue than any city in the country. And I wrote on Twitter, and I think it's on my blog yesterday, we could spend $1 billion on this issue, and it wouldn't solve the problem because we're giving the $1 billion to incompetent people. And that's who's on the Seattle City Council here. John, thank you, sir. Let's go to Mark on Whidbey. Hey, Mark, you're on Cairo.
Sorry, I've been waiting so long to talk to you, man.
Well, it's darn well about time.
People don't understand the nature of our government. When they partake in commercial activity, they are just de facto corporations. That's why they constantly ignore the Constitution, because they're in a commercial venue. And people just don't understand the nature of what they're dealing with. And for the guy to say we need to take it from the greedy and give it to those who
need
it
the most.
The city of Seattle doesn't deserve it. The city of Seattle is listed on Dun & Bradstreet as a for-profit corporation. Look it up. The nature of our government has changed, and we're in deep trouble.
Well, sure. Well, Sawant decries the rich and stands shoulder to shoulder with $180,000 a year union leaders. Real quick, I got a minute here. David in Seattle. Hey, David, you're on Cairo.
Hi, Dory. What people don't understand, or I shouldn't say what they don't understand, what I'm looking at is they're going to do the same thing that they did when they passed a $15 an hour rate.
Yep.
They're going to look at Subway. They're going to look at McDonald's. They're going to look at Home Depot, the Firestone, all these corporate companies and say, hey, even though you're a franchisee, you're still under that corporate umbrella. You have more than 500 employees. We're going to head tax you, too. Even if they have, like, you know, 6-7 employees.
Oh, you are absolutely right, David. And, this is just the beginning in their mind, but we got to make it the end. I'm going to get the Fast 15 and then more of your phone calls starting at 1:30. Dory Monticello rolls on.